Welcome, everyone, to the wrestling show. This is where we go over everything that happened in the world of wrestling this week. I'm Cab Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast. I am joined by your number one source for all of your wrestling news. That's Mr. Billy Body.
Hello.
We had a fan write into us and say he enjoyed how we did the show last week, as in you did one review. I commented, and then vice versa. I did a review of another show, and you commented. So I think that's kind of what we're going to do. And I wake up now to see that Billy has done all the SmackDown notes because he goes, I'm going to do the good show. Fuck this show. I'm going to deal with shitty fucking Raw, which is great because then I have just SmackDown in the background, and, you know, Billy could tell me a story. That's what I like.
See, what's the background behind that is, is that largely down to the pandemic, a lot of kids have fallen behind in school. Now, Austin was ahead at school. He was working at something, because you know how, like, everything is social justice now.
Sure.
And everything's oversensitive. So they got rid of A, B, C, and D. So kids didn't know they were a D or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
Now their feelings will be hurt by their grades?
Right. Yeah.
Why couldn't have I had that back in the day? Shit.
Or the parents would be or something. So, I mean, wow. Obviously they come back at a certain point, but they're not enforced at this age. So he's 10. So you don't really see these A's and B's or whatever. But what you see is you see EL, which is expected level, then which is the middle, right? Expected level.
Sure, that's a C.
The worst one is WT or something, which basically means working towards expected level.
So that's a D.
And then the top one is GD. Well, I definitely know that one's correct because that's what we used to see. We used to see all these GDs. So there was like, 12 things there were. And he used to have 9 GDs and 3 normals. And we were like, oh, come on, we got to get these normals up to the GDs.
What does GD now stand for?
Greater depth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you got 3. Greater depth, expected level, and working towards expected level, which is like means you're well behind. So he's lost a lot of like GDs. He only has them in maths. He's lost all of them in English. So it's like, so the feedback is that he hates to write. He hates to like do it. He can read really well. Like he reads at the highest possible level. Like he can't be any higher. There's no words that trouble him anymore. So, you know, he's like reading a 16-year-old would stuff a 16-year-old would read. Mm-hmm. Or like, and he can speak as well, but he fucking hates to write. Like he will not add description, and he basically likes to get to the point without really expanding on anything that like you're supposed to be like a lot more descriptive.
Sentence. Yeah.
Yeah. In order to be like greater depth, you have to like be able to explain things or make your work interesting or whatever. His writing is not interesting. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't give a fuck. He just wants to do the bare minimum for English. So I've been like trying to get him to write about Raw and SmackDown, which was my idea. Plus the ultimate punishment. could have picked like movies or something, but we ended up with this. I didn't realize it was going to get this bad when this idea came about. But I noticed that he's sitting there and it's always like, what happened? What was the important thing that happened on Raw? What was the important? I was like, did you not make notes again? It's like, no, I didn't. Like he starts by making the notes and then he stops. He can't even do the notes. So I've been sitting there.
Can't blame him.
And sitting next to him. And I've been doing the note taking and showing him how you do the notes. And then you take the notes and then you turn them into, you delete what you don't think is important. And then you turn what the other parts are into paragraphs. Mm-hmm. So if you look at last week's Austin report, which was done from my notes, what this little fucking shitbag did is he deleted some parts of it and then just left my sentences in there. And I can read my own stuff. Like there was a, I can't remember what it was, but there was a couple of words in there that I had used that he would never know. I said, what does this mean? What does this word mean? He's like, I have no idea. So, so yeah, like, so what he did is he just decided to, he did the deleting part, but he didn't rewrite anything. And also, like, the way I ask him to write, it's like, okay, so if you talk about when you write this article, because it's a summary, you start with importance of what happened. So if you talk about Roman, you go, the show opened with Roman, the show closed with Roman. And then I always say, use this sentence where you say elsewhere on the show and a comma, and you start to write about a couple of other bits. Mm-hmm. I said, that's like the structure of this article, which I taught him. This didn't have that structure. It was all in order. It's like, we had the main event, and then in the middle of the show, we had this. Sorry, we had the opening, and then in the middle of the show, we had this. And then at the end, we had this. He even wrote like something about the retro, like he remembered it because he was alive then, how I wrote it. So, yeah, so we had all that. But that's why the notes look like that, because they're supposed to be like efficient enough for, you know, a student to turn them into a proper piece of writing afterwards. But that's not come to fruition yet. So we'll try again this week, where I'll sit there and now have to show him how to use the notes. Mm-hmm. But it's a fucking process. Like, I'm watching the show, I'm fucking taking notes, I hate the show. I'm like, and then I have to like pass the notes over to him, sit with him. I hate like fucking getting the writing done with him because he's got an attitude. And then I have to use the notes and talk about it here as well. So like, these notes and this show is fucking hitting me like three times a week now.
Well, you're gonna read the notes that you wrote for SmackDown, and you're gonna tell me a story, because I kind of didn't like look at your notes, because I like to hear it from you firsthand. I like to be a surprise.
Yeah, because this is better actually, doing a show like this, because when one does the notes and the other adds on the, because you watch Raw when it happens, and then I watch it like the next morning because I don't stay up anymore. So then what happens is that I try to add to your notes, but then I see the result of the next segment. Obviously,
yeah,
it's not ruining my life like it would have done
years ago.
Like it would have done in the air. Be like, oh, fucking, you know, this guy's come over from WCW. No, it's
yeah,
like,
that would have been a oh, and then guess who showed up? You'd be like, motherfucker. Yeah. I used to have that when I would go on Instagram before I watch a show, and I go, motherfucker, you know, and now it's like, who cares?
But do you remember like, who's the higher power? Like, is Jake the Snake Roberts coming back? And or who's it going to be, this guy or that guy or whatever? I even saw, like, this was the first time. And I'd already started gambling through like some of my dad's squash friends, mm-hmm. even though I was like under, I was doing it while I was at college and high school. But I actually saw some betting odds on wrestling in 1999 on this website. And they had Jake the Snake as the favorite to be the higher power.
Oh, no shit.
Mm.
We could only have wished. I still think he should have been the guy behind Wyatt. Like, he'd have been in the rocking chair, you know, with his back turned toward him, and Wyatt was talking to him the whole time, and he was the one that was conducting the Wyatt family, because he's a fucking creepo, you know? But that's them. They fuck it up. But anyway, start off with SmackDown. What happened? It was a retro SmackDown.
Should have been Russo. Should have been Russo. Should have been Russo. Should have been.
It was me, bro. I'm the higher power, bro.
Who do you think writes this shit, bro?
Oh, shit. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so I need to make sure I'm on the right.
Yeah, it's the very first thing here. First,
because I got two. Okay, no, so I'm on Austin's article.
Yeah.
Which says we need the one which says Cav, don't delete.
Yeah, that's right. That's right above it, and then you start your SmackDown. I was like, okay, I'm not going to delete anything.
Yeah, because he was like looking at last week's SmackDown. So the show opens up with this retro music. Retro opening.
Mm-hmm.
The old WWF. Did they use What the World Was Watching?
I think they did. I think it was, but it was a different music than the 90s What the World Is Watching. It was more of the 80s one, I believe.
Yeah, it was like a mashup. Yeah. I thought so, yeah. And I thought this was good, because like anything where it's like, where they capitalize on why you still watch this,
mm-hmm.
is always good. They show a clip from the first SmackDown, which is, they call it the first SmackDown. No, it's HBK helping Triple H and The Rock, but a lot of people don't know that it's not the first SmackDown. There was a SmackDown in April, which was a one-off, I think, and then they turned it into a show. Or was it May? I don't know, but there was a one-off SmackDown that happened at one point before this. And then it becomes a permanent show, which is one of the reasons why Russo ended up leaving, which we'll talk about at some point on Podcast and a Poll. Roman comes out to talk, and Heyman's really good here. I didn't think he was great last week, but then he does the 10-bell salute. Did you see where he popped Roman?
No, I didn't notice. Which part did it?
The 10-bell salute, where he goes, "We don't need you, timekeeper. We're going to do this. We can take care of this ourselves." And he goes, and he starts going,
ding,
ding. And then Roman actually starts bursting out laughing, and he's trying to like keep it in. I thought it made him look like more of a heel. I don't think it was a bad mistake, or like, I don't think it was a case of where you looked at it and go, "Oh shit!" Like he popped
broke
him.
Character. Yeah.
I don't think it was a big character break. I think it was fine that it happened.
Yeah, more like they're just shitting on him.
Yeah, like you're just laughing at it. Like you're not being, like you're being really disingenuous or something.
Yeah.
Then Jimmy Uso comes down. My first thought is here. Is this a stupid way to bring him back? Because you could have used him in a Roman match at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is how you get out of the Cesaro thing at Backlash. But throughout the show, you see what they're doing, where they're saying he's not fully on board of Roman.
Yeah.
Which actually makes more sense, because for him just to come back, I have an issue with the hug and the high five, right? Uh-huh. Because it does make a bit more sense that he's skeptical to come back, because they do address the I Quit match and everything. They get this right in the end, like with Roman, they get this right. But initially it's a bit odd that he just comes straight back like that. I find it underwhelming, but what they're doing is a longer story arc.
Yeah, we would have
eventually he'll go.
We would have complained for sure if they just came back and he was with him. We would have said, did we forget that he fucking was, you know, telling his brother not to be a puss and protecting him and this and that. So yeah, they did right finally.
Yeah, so I mean, they did do the high five and Roman bringing him back, and obviously, if you're really digging deep, you would assume that Jimmy and Roman had a phone call in the week, or Heyman and Jimmy had a phone call in the week. But it's best not to look into it too deep, because it all starts spoiling this for you, and it's the only thing they're doing right.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't enjoy that much really on these shows. So yeah, this is fine. So the issues with Jimmy begin immediately, because he messes up in the Rollins and Cesaro match. This match, we knew it was going to be on the show, and they get out of the way early, and we knew Cesaro was going to win. I just still don't see, when you're doing this like retro SmackDown, I would have preferred any kind of more retro-related stuff on this than they actually did, as opposed to giving the match 2 ad breaks. It's obvious it was going to be that way, because it's Rollins and Cesaro and they're going to do the whole wrestling match thing. But we just saw it at Mania, and then also in the end, it has like a screwy finish anyway, where Rollins is telling these two guys not to interfere, and then Jimmy ends up kicking him in the face. And yeah, so that ends up being how Cesaro wins with a neutralizer. Teddy Long is shoehorned in here at some point for the retro stuff, and he declares that if Cesaro wins, he gets a title shot, which really does ruin the result. If anybody had any doubt that Rollins was going to get it to 1-1 and then lose again next week. But, I mean, they're going on with this match. It's going to only really be getting announced here, and then you get another week of it. I think this, at Backlash, I think this has to be a non-finish with them keeping this going. So I think this has got a little bit more legs in it, and I don't think there's anyone coming up on the horizon that Roman can really face. So
I was right off the bat disappointed that the set was not the old SmackDown set. Is it that difficult to I think they really suffer from laziness. They go, okay, we'll superimpose the fist. Come on, fucking bring it there and have the fucking, you know, the tunnel looking entrance. Is it that difficult?
Maybe they don't have it.
They do. We've seen that shit in their fucking warehouse where they're like, look, the fist. So, bullshit.
Yeah, it might be more cost-cutting from the company that have made more money than
yeah, they're lazy. Ever. It's like no new sets for anything other than WrestleMania. It's fucking laziness. I used to really look forward to every pay-per-view a different set. I would actually like be like, oh, I can't wait to see what they do with the set. And it's like, fucking lazy.
So, next, Beauty and the Beast match. It's Carmella, Ruby Riot. Carmella's looking ridiculous here. Like, I really do think that Lingus tournament was just timed out badly for her. I think she could have done so much better. I'd vote for her now. Like, I think I would let her win all the matches.
Jeez. I mean, she look all right. I mean, her body is fucking fantastic. But I don't know. There's a lot to be said about looking like an Afghan.
Yeah, but I don't think she really does that much. I mean, it's noticeable, but I don't know. I think
she's pretty. I don't think she's an ugly girl at all.
I think when you look, there was another video that she put out on Instagram after this match, and I watched that, and I was like, Jesus Christ! Like, I mean, obviously, if you do the competition now, Eva Marie wins.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting next year. However, like I said on Twitter, I said she suffers from Lana syndrome.
I don't think so. Lana with that fucking, it's her fucking face. Like, I want to punch her in the fucking face. Like, whenever I see her on Instagram and she's all like doing these
TikTok bullshit dancing.
Yeah, with her like eyes wide open and a fucking smile.
Yeah.
I can't fucking stand her. She's unbearable.
But yeah, you wish horrible things for her. Yeah, I know.
I don't think even Marie's going to be like that. I think if she's like a bitchy, or if she's kind of playing up to being a Bella and she's being a bit pretentious. Mm-hmm. Lana is a heel. I could cope with that. Lana is a Russian manager. Like, I'd no issue with that. It's like now I've got to know
her real personality.
Yeah. Press play on what I sent you on your phone.
Let me see. Well, you're attached through my phone, so it might not play. Let's see. It probably will, and I could hear it. Hold on. Let's see.
You don't need to hear it.
Oh, okay.
Hotter than hell, sweeter than honey.
Hotter than hell, sweeter.
Yeah.
I've played it myself, actually.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. See what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, she got it's those new titties. That helps a great deal.
I didn't even realize that she had new ones because I think the old ones were big enough anyway.
Yeah, these are big and separated too. They're not like, they don't look soft. They look hard and stuck on her.
This isn't on her Instagram now. This is one of those like stories.
Yeah,
so I can't believe she hasn't put them. But I like took a quick screen video of it. So
yeah, it's her in that green outfit. Yeah.
Yeah, she's worthy of a lot of stuff. She was worthy of winning. But I think, yeah, it'd be a lot more interesting, I think, if it waited just a couple of months and seeing what happened. Maybe we do one here for the Dirty Sheets or something.
Mm-hmm.
With our name of this podcast, we could call it. We could definitely find a good name for it. So I think that Carmella, by coming back onto TV and getting this win, it's going to be the same kind of rinse-repeat process where she gets built up and gets to beat like people like Ruby Riott and Liv.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll get to Bianca and get fed to her like Bayley's going to be. I think that's what they're doing. Until Sasha comes back, I think Bianca just runs through these people till SummerSlam. And then Carmella inevitably ends up back on Raw with her boyfriend. So they're so nice, this company. They know how to treat everybody. And they want all the couples to be back
together.
They're
a family company. I laughed listening to the new Jeff Jarrett show this week, which actually makes me like Jeff Jarrett. And Conrad says, he goes, you know, WWE is known like as a family company, you know, family first, except for when they told Russo to get a nanny. I fucking die.
Who said that, Jeff Jarrett?
No, Conrad said that. He goes, other than them telling Russo he needs to get a nanny, they're family first. There was a lot of Russo talk on that first episode. It starts the show.
All right, I might listen to that.
Man. Yeah.
So we got some questions in for Vince. Before we get to Bayley, Seth confronts Roman in the back about his cousins and says he'll deal with them if Roman doesn't. Roman subsequently cuts a promo on Jimmy after Jimmy tells him that he's not going to be his bitch like Jay. For me, this is good because what's going to happen here? Like we're saying, people are being fed to Bianca. It's still fine. I don't like Bianca Belair, but I do like the fact that heels get wins and then they get title shots. Mm-hmm. That works for me. But what's even better here is all the Roman stuff is being set up like months ahead, be it on Talking Smack or whatever. The next feuds are all being set up. So even if you don't want to do them, like Nakamura was a feud that got cancelled.
Mm-hmm.
And Cesaro was a feud that got postponed, obviously, till now. But this is obviously setting up Seth and Roman for a few months down the line. Now, he's just lost to Cesaro. He's in no position to get that title shot now. But once Cesaro's done, you know, Rollins can win whatever they do, the usual ways, fatal four ways, triple threats, beat the clocks, whatever. Rollins can get his title shot back. Or they can just simply do a whole thing where he does fall out with the Usos and beats both of them and gets to Roman. But the fact is that I am telling you now, SummerSlam's going to be SummerSlam set up here with these two. I can't see him facing anybody else but Seth Rollins at SummerSlam.
I would take that then. Part of me thinks that they would keep the Usos like in a feud with each other, make one of the Usos a good guy, the other one a bad guy. But then I'm like, well, maybe you get the tag team titles to keep in the stable, you know?
I think that's what they're doing. I thought Mysterio and Dominic would be a bigger moment that you do when fans are back. But I think they're just going to give them the belts. They seem to be rushing that for Backlash. And then it seems like the Usos will get it off them. I mean, that's the only reason I can think. Last week, you're seeing the Street Profits pinning them. And this week, you're telling me that the match is announced for Dominic and Ray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you even have in the next or the later segment, you have Dominic pinning Ziggler, and that just means that that feud must be over. So yeah, I mean, prior to this Dominic Ziggler, the show like falls off kind of when you get Dominic Ziggler and then you get Tamina beating Reggie via DQ. Reggie's usually good, but he can't even make Tamina look good. So before these two segments where the show does get bad, you do the Bayley bit, and she is doing throwback stuff because she's trashing all the old champions and saying she's better than them all.
Mm-hmm.
Weird choice of champions, by the way, some of these. Bianca comes out, and I think you can really see her fucking thunder thighs in this segment. I'm sitting here trying to wonder, what does she wrestle in? Because for some reason, I can't remember why I've not seen these before. That's because she wrestles in long trunks, right?
Yeah, tights, spandex.
Yeah, so you can't really see it, but she's got fucking humongous thighs. Oh, yeah,
she got big ass and legs. I mean, she's Mexican.
No tits.
What do you mean, no tits? Those are low-key big tits. I beg you to look again. She has big tits. Have a look. I'm going to have to send you some pictures or something because she hides those fucking things.
She's got completely flat dressed.
No way. She's got implants.
Bianca Belair.
No. I'm talking Bayley.
Oh, well, I'm not talking about Bayley.
I thought we were talking about Bayley with the thick thighs and big ass.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Bianca's fat thighs.
Okay. I'm like, oh my God, you don't realize she has big tits. You're like, what the fuck?
Oh, no. She's got, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, you think Bianca Belair's got tits?
Okay, I completely agree with you now then. Yeah. Well, right. And black ass. I mean, black ass, that's an ass, you know?
Who are you talking about now?
About black ass.
All right.
Yeah.
Black ass has a black ass. Very mm-hmm. cool. Okay, so she's awful. She's using all the WWE written dialogue here, all the cliche shit, living my best life and all this kind of shit that I can see Lana saying on Instagram. So I fucking hate her again here. Bayley just laughs at her and then she proceeds to kick the shit out of her. So she's getting some heat on her before she loses at WrestleMania Backlash. We've done the next two segments where I say they like fall off a cliff. We then get to like a 10-man tag that Teddy Long set up earlier in the night when Sami Zayn asked for an Intercontinental title shot. Old school backstage promos for the 10-man tag. I feel sorry for Owens and Nakamura even being in this.
They lose me at this point. I practically ignore it. I'm like completely golfing in the golf simulator while the TV is on.
But I tell you, I want you to remember. Mm-hmm. I want you to remember all this booking of Nakamura, even the fact that he takes a pin in this match when he's just being built up in 2 weeks. Like, you know, not in 2 weeks, but when they take like 2 weeks all of a sudden to build him up for a Roman match.
Sure.
They want you to forget about all of this. So, as I said, heels win this with Corbin pinning Nakamura. One thing I missed out was when they were doing the bit backstage, Apollo's talking about his team and their strengths. He ignores like Sammy, which I thought was quite good. But this is really the only retro thing we get. It's like, it's weird because they've decided that teams being together like they would be at the old 10-man tag Survivor Series is, this is suddenly an old school thing. This is a retro thing. It's like, oh, teams wouldn't stand together anymore and talk like that. That's old. Like,
I mean, the only thing retro in this show is the logo and the music and the fucking outfits the commentators wear. There is nothing else other than bringing Teddy Long back to say a fucking word.
Yeah, you could have brought a couple of other people back. But I mean, if this was obviously requested by Fox because it needed to coincide with the NASCAR thing, mm-hmm. then you can understand why they just didn't really bother.
Fucking NASCAR is making this happen. When I heard that, I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. They're like, oh, NASCAR decided. I'm like, who the fuck NASCAR? Fuck off.
I lost money in NASCAR this God. Weekend.
How could you even bet on fucking NASCAR?
Because someone said they had like a sure thing, and it wasn't. And when someone says to me, I got a sure thing in NASCAR, I assume... that they have a short thing. If anybody says to me anything like, oh, I got a fucking chess bet this weekend, or I've got a fucking bet on this horse or whatever, it's always like intrigued you. It's like, hold a minute, no one watches this. Because if someone says to me, oh, I got a great bet in the NFL, it's like, oh yeah, you and every other fucking person in the world, right? But it's like, they come up to me with something that nobody cares about. If it's like hockey or NASCAR or something, I'm inclined to believe them.
Because who the hell watches it, right?
I would think you're an expert if you watch this, right?
So what happened with the horse that got disqualified, right? But it was a long time later, so all the payouts already went through, I would assume. So
what horse?
The Kentucky Derby.
Oh, I didn't bet on that, but you saw like that does fall into the category though.
Here's the problem. I got second place. I put money on a second place winner, so I should fucking win.
Wait, when did it get disqualified?
Like 2 days ago, they banned the fucking owner because
when was the race?
Two Saturdays ago, not last Saturday, but the one before.
That's over.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what the fuck? I'm like, so I don't even know if they said disqualify the horse. I know the horse got suspended, so did the owner, but I'm like. It's not like the horse is asking for fucking drugs. They shot him up, you know? But
no, and gambling, that's done.
Yeah, they already paid it out, so.
Roman closes show here. They recap how Roman attacked Jimmy to get Jay to quit back at Hell in a Cell. I like it when they remember stuff. This is all good, as I said, apart from the hug and the high five with Roman and Jimmy. Obviously, Roman and Jimmy contacted... Roman and all Heyman contacted Jimmy here because Jay was surprised by it. That's the only flaw here. Roman tells Jimmy to make his decision and Jimmy starts walking away. Jay tries to stop him up the ramp, which is also good because it lets Cesaro attack him. Jay runs up in the ring. Cesaro attacks. It's not like it's better because one man's out of the way, so he attacks one. Mm-hmm. Then the other one's dead, so the second one comes in and he attacks him. And then the third one comes in when Jimmy decides to save his brother and he gets killed as well. So they don't actually look weak by getting killed because they got killed one at a time. Like Cesaro attacked one from behind, and then he had the upper ground. Is that the right phrase?
The higher ground. Close enough.
So he was able to take all three of these out. So everybody looks fine here. overall, it's not a great show. I like the Roman stuff, the retro stuff. Don't think Rollins and Cesaro needs to go two segments through two ad breaks, but, you know, we're used to that. I'm good with everything else. Like, Bayley is fine. The Bianca stuff, you need to build that match. I like seeing Carmella, obviously. And that only really leaves the two Roman segments. So the only parts I would obviously take away was Ziggler and Dominic and the Reggie and Tamina stuff. There's just, the women's division is so fucking dead. It's so dead. Like, we'll talk about it more when we run through Raw, but it's so dead. And again, like, SmackDown's obviously easier to watch, but if we had two 90-minute shows a week, I think I would, even in a Thunderdome, I still think I would like wrestling. I still think I would be okay with wrestling. If I sat through 90 minutes on Monday and 90 minutes on Friday, and it was, even if it was in the Thunderdome, 90 minutes for crowd, I actually think this product would be good. Like, yeah. You can cut out some of this stuff.
Yeah, because there's a lot of jobber matches and shit that you'd be like, well, we could skim all this out. And it's their greed. And they have to have fucking 3 fucking hours.
Even some stories are creeping in, like Roman's in a story with Cesaro, and they're like in their story together. What else did I say was, I mean, Bianca's going on a title run on Raw, like Randy and Matt Riddle are in a team. The triple threat is what it is. Charlotte, I think, is a story on her own, like in with Sonya, independent of the title. So yeah, I mean, there's some stuff, but it's the shit around the stuff.
Guy asked on Twitter, what is the real story with Daniel Bryan? Is he really a free agent? Is he still locked up? What is going on?
No, he's not. I don't think he's a free agent unless he's like overworked his date criteria. But even then, like, he has pending contacts with these people. Like, if he's worked his minimum amount of dates, which would be very hard to do seeing as we've just come out of a pandemic. So I would think that he would still owe them dates and have decided to, you know, to have a break early. He would still be tied down to Total Bellas. He would still be tied down to Mattel with like Action Figures and all this kind of stuff. The image of Daniel Bryan as a whole would still be owned by them.
Mm-hmm.
So no, he's not like left yet. Like he signed a contract in August 2018. I've never seen or heard of a 32-month contract. It's either like 1, 3, or 5. And if he doesn't wrestle again, it doesn't mean that he was a free agent. They still own the name Daniel Bryan with his T-shirts and his images. There'll still be figures. Like, he'll still be on Total Bellas. I mean, he's tied in to that show.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like, the interest for him to wrestle with this Jap or that Jap is that big. Like, you know, you can go, oh, he wants to go and fucking work with the Young Bucks and jump around and do that flippy dippy shit. I don't think he cares. I think it was like he just wanted to wrestle more because, you know, he was in a high position in a company. And there was guys, I mean, look, if you want to work with people, they bought in all the guys that you wanted to work with 5 years ago. 5 years ago, everybody was going, oh, I want to work with Tyler Black and AJ Styles and Nakamura. It's like they're all here.
Yeah.
And they're all like, you know, nothing now. You know, the WWE didn't do a good job with any of them, really, apart from, AJ and Rollins, obviously, they are what they are. They're established like stars. Neither of them are Cena, but they are like established stars. But the problem with that is that all of the matches that you wanted to see between AJ and Nakamura and Rollins and Bryan and that little quartet of people, you can't name one that happened on a big pay-per-view. You cannot name any match between those guys that happened on like a major pay-per-view that was good. Like, I know that AJ and Nakamura worked at WrestleMania, and I know that like Bryan and AJ had a program or whatever, but they never did any of this stuff right. They never did it like, oh, this is the dream match and we're going to give it a 3-month story. And, you know, Bryan's big comeback story that they gave some time to was with The Miz.
Yeah.
All these other matches, it'd be like, you go on Twitter and it'd be like, oh, this week on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan's facing Nakamura on this Friday. What? Like, they wasted everything. And yeah, some of these indie guys have been wasted. And also, obviously, a lot of these guys that came from NXT, I mean, Balor has gone back, and now they're talking about bringing him back up. Well, how do you think that's going to be any different? Like, they didn't know how to use him, and he hates everybody that writes for the main two brands and actually wants to earn less money on a fucking show that has half the viewers.
Yeah.
So, through choice. So, I think that says a lot. And when people are going, oh, when Adam Cole comes up, what's he going to do? He's fucking smaller than me. Way smaller than me.
Way smaller.
Yeah, so... I don't know. Anyway, you can do Raw.
All right. With Raw starts out with an intergender six-person tag match. My girlfriend Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, and Asuka versus Nia, Charlotte, and Shayna.
Mandy Rose is awful, by the way. Like, she's fucking so awful. She's there like...
How dare
she doesn't know how to... She's got... Their new music is shit. Like, it's got no... Like, even their old music was bad, but it was better than this. And she comes in there, and she's out of time with Dana, and she's doing this weird flexing with her muscles. It's like...
The flexing shit is forced. It has to be. That's the worst. That drives me more crazy than anything else. But what's with the fucking botch with... where she's, like, on... Nia's shoulders, and Nia just drops her. So she sells that she hits the fucking mat, and Nia's selling that she escaped.
You know, I actually rewound this to see, like,
I did too.
It felt like they'd been a botch, and they went home early. Like, there was, like, a feeling of, like, oh, this match is not supposed to end when it ended. It seemed like everybody was almost confused by it, but I just think that's how bad the division is.
Yeah, it was ugly. Alexa's on stage and she watches with the puppet. I guess she's going to make her run soon to where she actually wrestles again. She hasn't wrestled in fucking... I mean, she had like a little pepper here and there, but she has not wrestled in quite a while like normally.
Oh, she's awful. I mean, if you were going to talk about how they were going to kill The Fiend, or how they would... It would be like through overexposure, and they did a good job with... They killed him with the results. They killed him with the stuff which was the easiest to do. Now, and they did all the other part well, which was not overexposing him. She is so overexposed, and it's so, like, it's the case of what they thought The Fiend was,
yeah,
and in the most simplified way. And it's like, oh, hey, I got a fucking good guy doll when I was a kid, and my good guy doll came to life and started talking to me. It's like, no... It wasn't Chucky, you fucking idiots. Bray Wyatt wasn't a dude that had three Chucky dolls that told him what to do. Like, that's not what it was. But they were like, oh, this story's better. Like, this makes more sense. Like, Child's Play's a great film. Like, we can do this and sell all the toys.
I was thinking it was like Annabelle, too, with that Raggedy Ann doll.
Right. But, I mean, the same principle is existent for all the cases. But it's like, she's fucking terrible. And she's on there on the stage and... doing her laughing. So it's not her fault. Like, yeah, she's trying to pull
this
off.
She's doing what she's being told, yeah.
Yeah, she's doing her version of you know, the Mr. Rogers thing. Yeah. But she's awful. I can't... I mean, you shit on Charlotte all the time, but is there anybody other than her that knows a character that comes out there, can act, wrestle, and speak, and belongs on TV?
I mean, when you come to speak, I go, well, okay, then Asuka's out because of the speaking. But otherwise, yeah, you're right. And speaking of Charlotte, what surgery was done? Because all Andrade goes, oh, it was only one surgery. And I guess they're talking about her tits. Her face looks completely different. She does not. Something's different, and I can't put my finger on it.
Well, Botox... and cheek fillers are not surgeries, so that could technically be, because if she's having her cheeks filled with the shit they fill them out with, and then she's having Botox, obviously, because she doesn't have a fucking wrinkle, that doesn't count, and so it neither does that collagen in your lips. So all of these things I've been with these people. Yeah, but the thing is that you say that, but then, like, when you see the picture they put up of her for Raw Talk, and she was in the middle of that picture, she looked fucking amazing. It didn't even look like her. It looked like someone. Obviously, this is the picture that you use for all the promo posters up, and I think this is why she likes her, because she photographs amazingly well. when she like moves around a bit, like you can see that, you know, there's been a lot of work done, and then it's a little bit, I mean, it's down to preferences, whether you like girls with abs and biceps and triceps and shoulders, mm-hmm. and you know, that's subjective. But I mean, facially, like, she photographs well, like that. I mean, I don't know if you know the picture I'm talking about, the one they use for Raw Talk.
I think so. I mean, I was looking at some picture they put up trying to figure shit out. She has like a hair behind her ear, is it? And the other side's all down? Or is that a newer one?
No, I'll dig it up. You do okay. Show. I'll dig up.
Okay, Riddle finds his own kind in the back. And by that, I mean retards. The New Day. So they do their whole fucking retarded bit, high bit, whatever the hell you want to call it. Ginger's back, and he's back with two tall heads. Apparently, they keep bringing... Now they're bringing over those Crown Jewel people. I guess they're like, fuck this, get me out of India, because the plague is so strong.
Well, these guys
here.
Are on NXT. This is Indy Sher from NXT.
Because I'm like, I remember the guys from Crown Jewel, you know, where I was like, oh, this guy's got a gut on him, and he's tall. That one. And you couldn't tell, like, all of a sudden, they're bad guys or good guys. There's no reason for either. So it's Jinder versus Hardy. Poor Hardy. Jinder wins, and the Tallheads stand and watch. Now he's got his little crew with him.
And I saw the internet people going like, oh, Jeff Hardy deserves better than this or whatever. It's like, well, who do you want him to beat then? Because they want everybody to be pushed. But then there's no one to like lose. So like, you just want to go back to the fucking squash matches. Like, is Jeff Hardy, should Jeff Hardy be winning squash matches at 50 years old? I mean, because that's got to be how old he is.
I don't know if he's 50.
He's close to 50, though.
Comedy time.
He's
got to
be older than you.
Oh, yeah. He's older. He is older than me. But I don't think by much.
Have you seen Billy Gunn's body? Have you seen Billy Gunn's body at the moment, like recently?
Not within, I don't know, at least probably a year. But he was in great fucking shape last I saw him.
Yeah, do you know how old he is?
Oh, boy. What, 55?
Yeah, he's 57.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, some people are just rats, gym rats, you know, and they're like, I mean, I think Hogan, for as old as he is, and I mean, obviously at 70 years old, your fucking skin's not going to be fucking tight, but I think Hogan looks fucking great. I think he looks fantastic for, you know, what he is for age and all that kind of shit, so.
So there's a couple of pictures I sent you of Charlotte on what the photos they're using.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one behind the ear was the one I was talking about before, but so funny.
I mean, it's her. Like, it's not like...
Yeah, it's her. Photoshopped it's her. To death, and but... shot a different way for sure. Yeah. All right. Let's see. It's the comedy time, like I said. It's Elias and Gunner and AJ and Edwards, James Almost, and Almost squeezes a fucking tomato, and he barely can squeeze this tomato, and it was cut up for him. I go, how come he hasn't? I go, was this a non-ripe tomato? He couldn't crush it.
It's non-ripe tomato, but the gimmick is they're rotten tomatoes. So,
and he had to cut it up like it was going to fucking squish, you know? I'm like, it's like cutting your t-shirt so you could tear it off.
Surely, right? Mm-hmm. You know you're doing the rotten tomato thing, right? How fucking difficult is it to buy a tomato this week, right?
Yeah.
Put it somewhere. Put it somewhere and come back. You're in the same building and be like, oh, yeah, you know those tomatoes we bought last week? They are now rotten, like we're telling
let
people.
Let it sit in the sun. All that shit.
What? What? I can't even, how am I sitting here explaining how a tomato rots? And the thing is that wouldn't you at least, if you just thought of it on the day, wouldn't you be like, you know, tapping these tomatoes into the wall to like bruise them up, you know, to like, because that will like,
make them
you know,
soft.
Like a banana. Yeah. Well, yeah. These fucking people are so stupid. Like, I hate having to like explain how basic shit is done. It's so lazy. It's so, so lazy. It just stinks of, like, being written, like, really late.
Yeah. You know, you have to explain to them how to, you know, get a rotten tomato, and I have to explain to you how to pronounce tomato.
I try to, when you're saying tomato, like, when you start saying it like that,
yeah.
It's almost the instinct is to just echo off the person and keep saying it the same way. But then I realized that you don't say it right, so.
Yeah, and you say potato, I'm sure, too, right?
Potato.
Yeah, you say potato at least. Yeah, but you guys don't even say the letter Z. You say Z, which is really wild.
Because Z is the sound of, like, when you go, like, when they teach kids the alphabet now, they change the ABC to abacada.
Oh, my God. Oh, really? They pronounce the fucking letter. Wow.
The sound. Like, yeah, they it's like phonetic. So, yeah, I mean, Z would be the sound. So wow. It's not Z either. So, yeah, I don't know where Z is or where it comes from.
Wow.
Do you say A to Z?
No, we say A to Z.
What about, like, so when you get a book that tells you, like, where all the roads are, like, you know, before we had satellite sat navs, was that called an A to Z? Or an A to Z?
We didn't have any. Nothing's called that. We have something called an atlas.
Atlas is the world, though, isn't it?
I think so. But there, what is the fucking? Oh God, there's a fucking something. What the hell is a map called? Jesus Christ, I'll never fucking remember what the hell a map is fucking called. But yeah, we just call it a map.
Book of maps. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a fucking map. All right. Team Tard with Randy versus Job Squad and AJ and Black and the Beanstalk. From the time Riddle got in the ring with his little flip flop thing, I went upstairs. Made a salad with all the fixings, came back downstairs, and Randy was then standing on the ropes. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That's how long it took them to fucking get that going? That's a long time.
Riddle was there doing like the whole clapping and pointing at Randy when the top rope for a bit, but I didn't realize it. I mean, I knew it took like 3 minutes or so.
Wow. Yeah, it was way long between, because I mean, once Riddle got in the ring, it was commercial too. So, but I was upstairs taking my time. I was like, God damn, the match didn't start. There's only one more person in the ring. Jesus Christ. After the good guys win, Orton RKO's New Day. And it's funny because Riddle yells out, how are we going to have friends if you keep doing shit like this?
did he say shit?
Yeah, he did. Totally caught it. He's like, you keep doing shit like this.
That's good.
Now there's an interview. Two dykes, a Jap, and a Jap walk into a bar. All I see is, Sonya and fucking Riley and fucking Asuka talking, and I don't even care. Humberto versus Sheamus. Humberto fucks himself up with a sunset flip outside the ring. First thing I think is he broke his coccyx. It's the first thing I thought. They haven't said anything, apparently.
He hasn't actually done anything, I don't think.
Other than just to keep having, you know, at least he's been involved.
No, I mean, in his injury, I don't think he's done anything. I think it was a stinger or something that gets just a tweak. Better.
It was weird because did you see how his legs laid when he was laying on the ground? His feet were sideways, like completely sideways. I can't do that with my feet. I couldn't do it if I tried. His feet just naturally completely fucking went sideways. But he was, he was signaling he was not good. He was not good at all, so.
Did you hear him see Meltzer's report on this?
No, I never see
it. He said Meltzer has info about the Carrillo and Sheamus finish.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the story was this was not the finish that they planned.
Oh, my God. Really?
And this is legitimately what the story was and legitimately what the dirt sheets put out.
Well, WWE Trash Bag wrote me and said he's fine. So, I don't know. We'll see if the trash bag is right. Okay. Humberto, we got that one. Why the fuck is Lucha House Party having a promo package for being Lucha Lit? I don't know, and I don't care. Evolution, she gets a couple promos. And I say there's no way she's a good guy. She's laying it on thick, and I don't know why she's standing on a car. I have no idea what this has to do with anything, but she's like, I want to be a role model. I want people to look up to me and accomplish. I think this is going to turn into, you know, you're all lazy. That's why you can't accomplish your goals because you're not as good looking as me. I think this is what this is coming to.
Well, you know what? They'll tell you because it won't be an organic reaction because whatever button they choose to press on that fucking Thunderdome crowd, they'll tell you what they want you to think she is anyways.
I was wondering, do you think that is a smarter move to have her out there? It probably is, to have her out there with fake crowd or real crowd, because like get her feet under her first, maybe, you know, because they don't want her to just get shit on immediately, maybe. Garza and Gulak talk in the back while a bug crawls all over Garza's face. And I can't hear a word they say because that is all I am paying attention to, is this bug crawling across his face. Did you notice this? It comes out of the flower and it's crawling on his face the whole time.
I didn't. This would have been more interesting.
It's like Mike Pence. I'm like, what the fuck? It's crawling on his face, in his beard. Oh, man.
I tell you, right, at this point last week, I defended like the show where he did the kick in the ass with the rose. Yeah. That was original.
I loved
it. They're evolving like the Orton and Matt Riddle thing. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly like the main event program at the top, but obviously, I mean, I'm fine with the guys that are involved with it, and you know, Charlotte gets added to the match with Sonya. There was like Eva evolution, or in terms of these storylines, like no pun intended.
Yeah.
And then obviously Eva Marie debuts. Last week felt like a show where, you know, it wasn't great, but like it felt like they were doing stuff. This was that show after that show, where something happens where it was like, oh, we're just going to like do very, very little to keep the shit going.
Yeah.
And this is a show where it's one of those where it's like, it's not the go home show. Sorry, it's the go home show where like, you know, should be like heading towards like the pay-per-view, but it's like, actually, we don't have anything else to add to these matches, like, because some of these stories that we've got here on Raw don't actually culminate at pay-per-view, like nothing with the tag belts or Orton or Riddle or anything other than the main event, and then also the women's match. So it's all filler. It's like it's like this show was annoying to them to write it, so they were just like, how are we, the attitude must have been when they sat down, how are we going to get through today? And it felt like it as well. It was like there was nothing to it at all. I was so bored and so fed up at this point, I actually fucking started listening to Russo watch this live. He does like a watch along.
Oh, he does watch alongs. Well, he said he's paid to watch Raw because he doesn't watch SmackDown, and I told him, I'm like, that's the one you should watch because it's actually, you know, entertaining and interesting to watch. There's some good stuff on there. I'm like, you're fucked. You're watching the fucking worst, which probably is a better show because he's screaming about it. Do you think that we get Ripley versus Asuka? I think Ripley's a poser. What do you think? I don't believe she's some fucking rocker broad like this, with this fucking lipstick and makeup and the hair. She came out like Charlotte in the beginning with the blonde hair and the different and the outfits. I'm like, all of a sudden, she's some fucking goth rocker broad? I can't imagine.
You really care about this, don't you?
I do. It bothers me.
You're bothered by the authenticity of her, grunge background.
Yes, when you're a fucking poser. I understand if you dress in character and then you're your normal self outside the fucking ring. But I think she carries this on outside as well. Where I'm like, get this fucking lipstick off. She's a good-looking girl if she doesn't do all this fucking nonsense.
So you don't think she's a genuine, like, Hot Topic chick?
I don't, not in her. I think she's turned into the Undertaker, where I think Undertaker got so into his fucking character, he did become into that shit. He didn't have any tattoo. He started off with a tattoo. All of a sudden, he became Death. So where'd this come from? So I think, yeah, she got a tattoo. I think she turned into this now. Charlotte comes down to watch, and she's in a full cat suit. She's a tall glass of unfiltered water. That's what she is. Billy's favorite girl. Priest versus Morrison. If Morrison wins, Miz gets to pick the stipulation for the match. However, he doesn't, and Priest wins.
This is what I'm talking about, this kind of stuff. Like, this match again.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's so much of this is, and it's so long. It's like, okay, when you can time it and go, you know, put a stopwatch on or whatever, and mm-hmm. it might be like 12, 14 minutes. You go, you know, 12, 14 minutes is not long. Like, that's not, you know, it's a shower. But it's like, it's fucking long. It's long when it's so much. It's like, you know, it's a shower, yeah.
but it's not like six showers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's so much of it. It's like you could cut so much of it down. This show yesterday, I don't think I could get 90 minutes of good content out of it.
I agree. They have to cut down a lot. I mean, Priest wins and he says he wants a lumberjack match so Miz doesn't run away. Fuck. And you know what I was happy about? I said, oh, look, Drew isn't on the show. I completely forgot that the main event was fucking Drew versus Bobby. And I go, good. Get Drew off TV for a little bit. A little too much. You know what I mean? It's sometimes you need to fucking miss somebody. But he gets a fucking title match. Why? God forbid they fucking don't have anyone touch each other for more than a week. Everyone has to. I mean, there's no build for, oh, I can't wait to get my hands on you. It's immediately. Braun shows up during this match and power slams everybody and through barricades and, you know, has to be the last guy standing. Bullshit. Whatever. Who cares? I'm really not thrilled or excited for this pay-per-view at all.
No, I just, they've done a really bad job with it. I mean, it's like weird because you could have done something where Braun was involved in this, right? Mm-hmm. And like, it would have been better if you'd built towards, you know, when he had the issue between Lashley and Braun. With Drew and Braun were involved with Retribution.
Mm-hmm.
So who haven't been on TV, by the way, for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've forgotten. They don't know what to do with them. All of a sudden, they weren't even in that tag match tonight. They didn't, you know, they couldn't be on any of the teams. But the fact is that if you just, you know, had the issue between Braun and Drew, and then had just Lashley cost Braun the match, mm-hmm. and they turn around and Braun was like, "Oh, I want the next title shot because I beat Drew McIntyre or whatever," and then they put him in the ring with Lashley, and somehow they found a way for Lashley to lose or whatever to Braun, and then you do the pay per view and it is Drew versus Lashley, and then Braun could just come out and destroy them both at the pay per view. That could still be a finish. Like, I understand that people would complain about it,
yeah.
but it doesn't matter because it's you've shortened everything down to like the fact where you've given away everything that you can do rather than like doing a DQ in a pay-per-view,
yeah.
which, you know, people would complain about because you gave him a DQ finish, but you can do another match between Drew and Lashley later on because the match is finished in a DQ. You can do the triple threat match. You can get Drew's win back on Braun. You can get Lashley's win back on Braun. Braun's got a one-on-one win over Lashley, so he's owed a title shot. Drew wants his revenge because he got beaten. You can shove a triple threat in between that, and then once they've all beaten Braun and gone back and done the triple threat and everything, then Lashley can get back to Drew. Like, that's 4 months of story.
Yeah,
they did it in 3 weeks. They did what I could write in 4 months in 3 weeks.
And that's why I don't know if there is just now they go, well, people don't have attention spans. That's why people are on the phone, this and that.
But let me tell you what you're gonna discover in on Podcast and a Poll, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a period where I believe, God, I can't remember exactly because the statistic is not coming to me right now. But I think it was, fuck. Sounds really bad, like radio now, because or radio podcasting now, because I can't remember the exact period. But I think it was in 98, from 98 to 2000, I believe, until Angle broke the sequence, right? Kane, Mankind, Undertaker, Triple H, The Rock, and Stone Cold Steve Austin main evented every single pay-per-view. Two of those six people main evented every single pay-per-view from 98 to 2000 until Kurt Angle broke the sequence. And I can't remember when he broke it. I think it was when he beat The Rock. No, because the other two are still in it. But yeah, I mean, and I think if you took that even longer, one of those six were in the main event of every pay-per-view, then I think it stretches out to about 4 years before the sequence is broken where none of those people are in a main event. But there's a period where it's those guys versus each other constantly for like a couple of years. Then Kurt gets involved. He breaks that, but he still does it versus The Rock. But then there's like no pay-per-view for about 4 years that doesn't have one of those guys in it.
Wow.
But the thing is that were you bored?
No, not at all.
Right.
Dead stories.
I mean, look at 98 is from Austin Michaels. It's then Austin Mankind twice, Austin Kane, Austin and Undertaker against Kane and Mankind, I believe. Austin Undertaker, Austin Kane Undertaker, Kane Undertaker. Then you have that Survivor Series tournament. Rock gets involved. Rock Mankind again. Rock Austin. Where are we up to? So Austin's a champion. Austin Undertaker over the edge. Undertaker Rock. Rock Undertaker again. Rock Undertaker, Austin Undertaker again. Then you've got Austin Mankind, Triple H. Then you got Triple H in a six-pack challenge. That's me. I've gone from WrestleMania 14, wow. and I've got you to the 99 Survivor Series. No Mercy's Triple H and Austin. So yeah, so Survivor Series 99, and even that is supposed to be Rock, Austin, and Triple H, but Big Show gets in unadvertised.
Jesus, that's something. Shit. All right. Well, that is.
I did that from memory.
Really?
Memory, and I can't. I'm not looking it up.
Holy Christ! What? Yeah, I don't know if you should be ashamed or proud. What the fuck? That's fucking Rain Man shit.
Oh, main events. Oh, I wish I could do that in camera because I'm not looking at anything. I'm on my phone. But the fact is that main events are easy to me. Like you asked me,
wow.
Main events from a time where I was fully engaged. Like even now.
Oh, dude, we're gonna have something next week. I'm gonna set something up. We're gonna have a little game show, and it'll be from the good old day stuff. And I'll name a pay per view. So study up. I'll name a pay per view, and you'll tell me a main event. And you'll tell me as much of the card as possible.
Oh, that's hard.
Well, anything else you remember on there. I don't expect you to fucking name the card, but main event for sure. And
try one now. Let me see if this will actually work as a segment.
Right, let me look something up real quick. Okay. I'm gonna pick. Okay. How far back? How many years? Like, what years do you want to do between?
Oh, my preference is 90s and, 90s and
okay.
Early 2000s. Okay. But I mean, I anything, I don't care. I can do it.
Okay.
I can do any pay-per-view.
Okay. I just typed in something. Let's see. All right. See what this is. Okay. Armageddon 1999.
Oh, Triple H and Vince.
Let me see. Yeah, it's Triple H and Vince. that's disgusting. Okay, here we go.
Big Show and Bossman, right?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Big Show Bossman is the title match. After he dig up his mum and stuff. Jesus. In the grave.
Wow. Over the Edge 99.
Oh, Undertaker Austin. Owen Hart dies.
That's where he dies in 99, yeah. Okay, see, we got a good show then for next week. Don't worry, but we will get into it. And my phone's about to die, so it's perfect timing. Something to look forward to next week. I'm going to have trivia for Billy. We might just barely gloss over wrestling because I'd much rather do this.
Well, actually, next week we'll have WrestleMania Backlash to cover.
Yes, so, that's true.
That's how they do it. He's going to WrestleMania. 1, 2, 3. Backlash. Unbelievable. I don't know who thought it's honestly, it's like it's a child is telling me how dumb it is, and I'm just like, I know we say this stuff on our show. He doesn't listen to our show, but
yeah, of course.
But, yeah, I mean, but he's telling me like you should speak about how dumb this is on your show. It's like, yeah, thanks, Dad. He's telling me what to say on here.
Jesus. All right, it is time to go. We will be here next week for some fun trivia and maybe a little bit of wrestling, but the trivia will be the better part. For Mr. Billy Body, I'm Cab Manning, and we'll see you next time.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big-ass piece of shit.